Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa ma ba'd. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. One of the things that you'll notice is that different people are attached to different things. And when a person becomes attached to something, they try to spend as much time as they can with that thing. And sometimes that attachment arises because they spend so much time with that particular thing. So it's sort of like a chicken and egg scenario. So, for example, there might be two people who spend a lot of time together, then eventually they become very close and then they become friends because they happen to work together, they were on the same projects, they went to the same places, and eventually they form a friendship and they become close in that sense. And then there's other individuals who, for other reasons, a person forms an attachment with, in which case they try to find the time to spend as much as they can with that particular individual. So maybe a person has a long-lost childhood friend and they're visiting town. A person might have work, they might have other responsibilities, but they try to carve out time to try to go and see that person that they can spend time with them. And when a person spends time with that thing that they have an attachment to, that attachment grows and becomes stronger. So the underlying constant in this situation is spending time with something has an effect on the heart. If we understand that, then we understand that we have to be very careful about where we choose to spend our time. Because if we invest our time, our time is really like our currency, and it's our prerogative and our responsibility to invest it wisely in such a way that it gives us a good return on our investment. And the best return on our investment is the return that we get in the Akhirah. So if a person begins to squander their wealth, squander their capital on things that don't matter, one problem, obvious problem, is the fact is that it was wasted. But the second problem is that a person becomes attached to those type of things in such a way that a person becomes trapped by those things. In the worst case scenarios, those things can even become something of an addiction to an individual. And I'm not necessarily talking about things which are haram, like impermissible, like pornography or drugs or alcohol or something like that. I'm talking even about things which are in the permissible realm. If a person, for example, gets really caught up in the news, then it's like you're almost like an addiction that every day they need their quote-unquote fix. If a person gets really into video games, people can spend hours and hours and stay up the whole entire night playing video games. At least I remember when we were kids, we would play so much, if our parents didn't stop us, to the point where we wanted to actually throw up. Right, it was a different type of gluttony. And it could be, for some people watching TV. For some people it's watching movies. Spending 2 hours, 3 hours, watching some, escape from reality. I'm not even getting into the whole Sharia ruling regarding those things. People spending time, aimlessly surfing the internet. People spending time aimlessly shopping. People spending inordinate amounts of time on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. All of these things. If a person's spending so much time with that, then it builds an attachment. And the problem is that when a person starts being attachment to these things, and even, like I said, in cases where it's permissible, sometimes people, like, you know, they're really into studying or they're really into something else. But when it's not Allah, right, and when it's not the deen, then what happens is a person starts to lose interest in things within the deen. They don't find the same exhilaration. They don't find the same enjoyment when it comes to matters of the deen. In a sense, a person becomes spoiled. And their nafs becomes spoiled in such a way that they can't really appreciate, right, the finery of the deen. It's like a kid, if you fed him, you know, really cheap, fast food, unhealthy, you know, he has a BMI of 35, morbidly overweight, and he's just been drinking Coke and, he's drinking Coke and Big Macs for the past year. And then you bring him some, you know, very fine, high quality, very clean type of food, and it's in a small portion, and they won't appreciate it, right? Because they've been spoiled in a sense by all that over sugary, overly, too much saturated fats and all of those type of things, and they don't really appreciate, you know, just some asparagus, which is lightly salted with some, you know, pepper. And if you take people who are the other way around, the people who've gotten used to a very clean diet, no, they can't stand to drink even a can of Coke because it's, you know, it tastes really sweet. It tastes overly sweet. It tastes almost toxic to individuals. So it has to do with, you know, your point of reference shifts. When a person, for example, spends hours on social media with, you know, all the fast-moving images, one after another, after another, after another, scrolling ad nauseum, and sometimes it seems ad infinitum, and then you tell them, oh, come on, let's do dhikr, they just won't feel like doing dhikr. It's just very, very, very far from them. And it has to do with the fact that they didn't spend time with dhikr. So when you don't spend time with something, it creates distance. When you spend time with something, it creates closeness. And that's why a person has to be careful, even on to listening to things which are, you know, within the realm of permissibility. You know, it's okay to listen to some nasheeds. It's okay to listen to some of these things on occasion. But if a person becomes manus and they get their nafs completely used to just listening to those things, then it becomes hard for that person to spend long amounts of time listening to Quran. And that's just sort of a side effect. And the opposite is true too. If you spend a lot of time with the Quran, you become very used to the Quran, you become very close to the Quran, and spending time with other things become an anathema to the individual. I mean, if you really think about it, it's nothing short of a miracle. You look at those kids who sit in the madrasa, and they don't understand a word of what they're reading. And, you know, they have been, I mean, they're raised on Nintendo Switch and this, that, and the other. And on the weekends, all they're doing is watching TV and cartoons and this and that. But just because they are able to spend time with the Quran and they got used to it, they have an attachment to it. I mean, when they're at madrasa, they literally can read Quran for hours in a language that they completely don't understand. And they don't get tired of it. It's not like, you know, a person said, oh, I've read the juz once, I can't read it again. You don't find that. I mean, they read for hours and hours from the morning all the way till the night, till the evening. They're studying, reading Quran, and you don't get tired of it. Which just goes to show how powerful this attachment can become and how important it is how we decide where to invest our time. You know, there's a narration which talks about Sahib al-Quran. And it talks about the Sahib al-Quran that on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be asked to recite. And he will start to recite in Ratil Kama, the way that you, oh, Kama Qal, the way that you used to recite, Yani Iqra, Kama Qara'ata fi dunya, how you used to read in the dunya. And it will be said to him that your manzil will be the last ayah that you recite. And so there's a whole discussion of what sahib means over here. But one of the preferred opinions, based on ishara from other riwayah, is that it refers to hafiz of the Qur'an. And it's actually mentioned that there are as many darajat in Jannah as there are ayahs of the Qur'an. And between every two of the levels is the distance between the heavens and the earth. And there's an ishara here that the person who recites, who memorizes the Qur'an, he will reach the final pinnacle, and such that there is no manzil after that. And so they will be at the highest maqam that could be achievable for someone who sahib al-Qur'an is one interpretation. They will, at least you can say, they will reach the maqam of the atqiya, of the righteous individuals, and have this great sharaf, right? And transcending, I mean, even if you transcended 6,216 manazil, you know, of darajat, and we know how high, far that each of those manazil and each one of those levels are, we can begin to understand how absolutely amazing that is. But the reason I mentioned that narration is the word that was used was sahib, right? And sahib comes from sohba. The word that was used was not hafiz. And if you just think about it, what the implication is that the sahib al-Qur'an is someone who actually spends time with the Qur'an, right? And spending time with the Qur'an, and spending actually a lot of time with the Qur'an, it creates uns, it creates closeness. And this closeness is going to be beneficial to the individual, you know, right after their death. They don't have to wait for the day of Qiyamah. Because when people are 6 feet under, and you're all alone, there's no one there, there's no one to talk to, you have to pass every single day for what may be hundreds, what may be thousands of years. And, you know, it's a closed space. It's a tight space. It's a dark space. And there's nothing to do. I mean, what will you do? And if for the person who, you know, for certain individuals, their companion will be the Qur'an, right? That will enlighten their grave. And it will be like an individual who will come and sit with them and spend time with them. And what better companion can a person have than the Qur'an itself? So if a person invests in creating that friendship with the Qur'an here, then that the Qur'an will come as a friend for them in the grave, and also an intercessor for them on the day of Qiyamah. So the Qur'an will actually come and argue on behalf of the person who used to memorize it, and argue on behalf of the person who used to practice it. And right after this chapter, actually in Riyadhus Salihin, Imam Nawawi, when he talks about the fadail of the Quran, he brings another chapter about those people who keep like their mu'ahada, their regular connection with the Quran, and the importance of that, and then the very famous narrations about how the Quran, how a person should, you know, read the Quran and keep that connection with the Quran regularly, because it runs away faster than a camel that's unbound. Right, to paraphrasing. And there's a spiritual aspect for it to run away. I mean, one way is running away is that you can forget it. But another way is that run away is a person loses that connection, and you just don't feel like reading it, the Quran. Days bleed into weeks, week bleed into months. And a person really doesn't get a chance to spend time with Quran. So that's something that we need to reverse. And the other thing to mention is, if a person has a habit, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with the habit of regularly reading the Qur'an, then they should also be careful still about the other distractions, lest their nafs become attracted to some of these other things, and a person, quote-unquote, lose interest in the Qur'an. And because there's just a high, right? There's a high that accompanies the dunya, and it's something that's alha. Al-haakum al-takathur. It's something that distracts an individual. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. There's nothing more beautiful and more amazing than Allah. But people still get attracted to dunya over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, when a person engages in some of these other things, it can distract a person, right? Potentially. So a person has to guard their heart and has to guard that connection and try to keep that connection as alive as they can. And part of keeping that alive is not just simply reading it, but also doing amal on it, Because if a person just memorized it, but they didn't act accordingly to it, that obviates some of the benefit of memorizing the Quran, if not entirely. Not only acts according to it, practically speaking, when we talk about acting according to the Quran, I mean, no one is asking a person to sit there and spend hours to derive the legal rulings of this particular verse. And it just means that, you know, there's things that you know you're supposed to do in the deen, and the ulama have already put those out. We know what's halal, we know what's haram, so live by that. And when you're living by that, by virtue of that, by living according to the sharia, you're living according to the Quran and the sunnah. You're not encumbered necessarily go to the primary source and derive the permissibility and impermissibility of every single thing that, you know, exists within the deen. That work has already been done. Now we just have to follow that sharia that has been made easy for us and presented to us by our scholars before us. And in doing so, that is what is meant by, you know, quote-unquote, following the Quran and Sunnah. And then also doing tadabbur on it, actually thinking about it. And this is something that people don't really take the time to do. You know, even when people read, they're just trying to race through. The goal is, okay, I need to finish a juz. I need to finish my 1/4. I need to finish X, Y, and Z. But I mean, now it's pretty easy because on the phones they have the tafasir that go along with the particular verse, and there's lughat. If you don't know the meaning of a particular word, you can look it up and hyperlink it right there. So a person really spending time in interacting with the Quran in that manner on a regular basis, and if a person has, for example, gone through Ma'arif al-Quran once, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's one and done. It's a constant thing. You keep on recycling, you keep on revisiting, you keep on reconnecting, and every time you come back to it, you'll find new things. You'll find new gems and things that you missed before. And it's that type of treasure. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to minimize these other distractions and other quote-unquote forms of entertainment, and make the source of entertainment those things that will benefit us in the Akhirah, such as our Salah and Zikr and Quran and learning the Deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.